So welcome to the June 3rd Use Case Realization Call. Today we have David McBride with us talking about the release management. And as we approach M0 here, these are pretty relevant topic, trying to hit M0 and getting all of the projects in order. So let me start off with, I think the release, I like the Jira dashboard. I think it's really nice. It's really efficient, I think, to see some of the key pieces of information that we need to see at this stage. So I think it's really good. So I did meet with some people in the past couple of days, and they had quite a number of questions, but there, you know, so many people are on calls that they might not be able to join. But I can convey some of the some of their thoughts. One of the things, I guess, let's just hit one of my Jiras. So one of the things I think that looking at the comments from Catherine, right? Who's going to be the owner? Which is essentially the signee, right? And then is there any projects that are test only impact? Can you create a user story project? This I haven't done yet because I think I wanted to step through this with you just to make sure I do it right. And then which companies will develop and test these requirements per component, and how many people are there? And then what's your date for the architecture review? So I think what, so Joanne Lou Rudell, walk me through one of the tickets that I think she said was good. And I think this is a little bit more what is in line with what you're looking for, right? So here's the projects, here's the each individual project listed, the impact type, which is the test only or code, who's supporting it, and what, and the people that are involved. So is that kind of more what you're expecting, David? Hello, can you hear me?
Sorry. Yeah, I was on mute. Sorry. Basically what I did is I took the column headers out of the table and moved them into Jira. And so basically the same information that you see from the table that we were working with before is what you see represented in the template.
I see.
So okay. I didn't create anything new.
Yeah. I think maybe some of those columns, what was in them, have always been a little confusing.
And that's where I fall down because I'm so new to the project. I sort of assume that everyone else knows what these things mean.
Oh no! And if you follow it through a project, people put all sorts of stuff in those different columns.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So it could very well be what you're saying is true, that those fields themselves are not clear and need to be cleaned up. But my first task was basically just take what's in the table and transfer it into Jira, just to make it easier to manage.
Sure. Okay. All right. Okay. That makes a whole lot more sense now. So I think, you know, it's not easy. There's like 1,500 people registered in ONAP, right? It's not easy to getting 1,000 people all walking in lockstep. I think maybe what we need to do is take a look at this template and modify it so that the information you need is there in a way that people know how to fill it out without having to sort of guess. And you know, that those columns in that original tracking thing aren't great either. So what I guess I would propose is, if this looks kind of like the information that you're looking for, I would say then, I think I would reword this a little bit, maybe to, because you really kind of want multiple sort of these, and you want multiple of these, mm-hmm. want multiple, let's see, and you want, you know, I think maybe you kind of want sort of multiples of these because that's sort of the support. So maybe, you know, maybe the template should be something like this, you know. And I think another problem is the word project is overloaded, right? So meaning like this is actually ONAP component, you know, impact, and it's TO or C, and then you want impact type, TO test only or code, and then companies, supporting, well, I guess companies.
Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to point out is that, you know, the comments from Catherine in the example that you were pointing out previously, that those were actually added before you had, because you remember you hadn't originally copy or clone the ticket. You just created a new ticket. And so that all those headers were not in there, which addressed the questions that Catherine had.
So I did a clone of REQ1, clone plus plus REQ1, like she told us to do. Is that what you mean?
Well, I remember before you had made a comment during, can't remember if it's the PTL or the TSC meeting, that a lot of the information wasn't there in the description field.
Not in the description field, but in the, so originally I didn't have this here, what I'm highlighting, right? Only just filled in what was from the clone plus plus of the REQ1, which had description, which had link to high level, which had dependency, blah, 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 which had project impact, which had support status, and which had, you know, had all these things in bold, right? This is just from the REQ1. But I think looking at, let me update this. So looking at Catherine's comments though, and looking at one that did pass properly, I think what you're more looking for is a sort of mini section for each project that you impact.
Well, I understand the improvements that you're suggesting, but when I looked at the ticket, I didn't see any of those headers in there.
REQ1 or the which ticket?
The ticket that you had created.
Oh, well, I've created five of them. So which one were you talking? Like these are all the ones I created.
Yeah, I don't know. I've looked at a lot of tickets, and a number of them they didn't actually do the clone. They just created a new ticket, and so all those headers in the description field were missing. It's exactly the information that's represented in the table that we were using.
Understood. Yeah, understood. So I think, you know, the thing to do is let's see if we can work together to get it right. Right. So I did do a clone plus plus because I attended and hosted the meeting where you walked us through how to do that. So I definitely followed the process. Right. So I think what maybe if we look at the REQ1, you'll see that this is what you get when you copy it, right? Because you get all this stuff. So what I'm sort of suggesting is, I think if you update it to have something like this, it'll be clear to people that what you're really looking for, in addition to this, is actually you want essentially not just, you want a report of a project impact per project essentially, and you want a company engagement per project, and you want a something else. Oh, here, like the support status per project. So, I mean, you know, it kind of says here for each affected project, but I think it might be clear if you just wrote like something like this, and give it, and let people, you know, ONAP component number one, ONAP component number two, and then
no, I get it. Yeah,
how to do it.
No, that totally makes sense.
So,
yeah.
And if you don't mind, I can just do that now while I'm there. If you agree, I think having walked through with a lot of teams now, and lots of people working this, I think if they see that, I think it'll clear up some of these future problems. So.
Yeah. And again, just, you know, keep in mind, my purpose was not to fix or change the existing process. My purpose was just to take the existing process as it was and move it into JIRA from
Right. And yeah, I totally see what you're trying to do. And I laud the effort. Okay. But I think this will help both Catherine and you, so you don't need to ask so many of the same questions
Again, the questions that Catherine asked, and she put that same set of questions on multiple tickets.
Yes, correct.
Were the questions where those headers in the description field were missing?
Questions in the description header field were missing. Oh, because people didn't clone ++. The RFP
right.
one. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, now in your case, it may have been an exception. I can't remember exactly what happened, but anyway, if you go through and look at the tickets that Catherine commented on, they were all the tickets that were lacking those headers in the description field. The ones that were not lacking those headers and where people filled in the information, she did not put those comments.
Yeah. So again, I did the clone ++ sort of thing. So she made comments about other stuff, which I totally get why she made the comments. I was just trying to say, I was noting that if you update it like this, people will have a much better understanding of what to fill out. Right.
Yeah, so, I totally agree. Totally makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I think this clarifies some of the thing, and I think it'll help you out a lot. All right. So then, let's see. You can just put this out because you're listing it per component, and we can say engagement. All right. So I guess we want support status too here. So support status. S partially, not partially. Not. Okay. All right. Okay. Now I think I've got all my tickets in line with this information. So, all right, great. Any questions from anybody from Dave about this template?
I have some additional comments if...
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
If you're finished with that part. I thought one of the things that might be helpful is just to... do you mind if I drive?
Yeah, sure. Let me unshare. Yep.
Okay. Let's see here. Actually, let me just go straight to JIRA.
By the way, I do think this Jira dashboard is way more readable than the what we were using before. I really like it a lot.
Yeah. Well, it's not only more readable, it's more searchable, sortable, and it's relational. You know, that's the fundamental reason that we needed to change, because we were, you know, we had a relational database problem that we were trying to address with a table. You know, tables are good for static data, but for, you know, something that's changing, and you have, you know, we have relationships with tasks through integration tests and things like that, you really want some kind of a relational database for that. And so I think Jira, particularly since Jira integrates with Confluence, is addresses the problem well.
Yeah, I would agree. So maybe for those of you who are kind of new, because I noticed some people weren't on your original presentation about the Jira dashboard. Maybe you can just say a few words about the overall dashboard and what it is and how we're using it and how it compares to the old thing.
Yeah, sure. Why don't we start there? That's a good idea. So this is the new dashboard. Let me pull up the old dashboard. Okay, so here's the old dashboard that we use for Frankfurt. And you can see that this is a huge table or two or three huge tables, I guess two. That's the first thing you notice. The other thing you notice.
You're not even seeing the whole thing. You have to like
zoom exactly.
Down
yeah,
keeps, and yeah.
Yeah, it keeps
over.
Heading off here to the right. And the other thing that you notice is that there are a lot of, you know, comments in here, and particularly, comments related to status at each milestone. And so typically what you would see is that requirements owners would come in here and they would update their status. And of course, in order to do that, they would overwrite what they had written before. And a lot of times it was confused if they didn't, like here you can see someone put a date when they made the comment, but a lot of times they would just make a comment, so you wouldn't have any idea, you know, did they do it today, did they do it 2 weeks ago. You know, of course you can go into history and dig through and do comparisons and figure out when the comment was entered and so on, but that's, you know, a lot of work, really tedious. And so this goes back to my earlier comment, you know, tables are good for static data. But when you have data that's changing, that needs to be timestamped, and it's relational, then tables tend to fall apart. I know as someone who spent a lot of time digging around in this table, this was no fun. I'll tell you another problem that gets solved by Jira also. So, as we know, the requirements get tracked, into the integration test status, page. So let me pull that up. And this is another really unwieldy table. So you see that it's tracked as number 42. Well, ideally what you would want to do instead of indexing on a you know, a number in the table. What you really want to do is be indexing on the requirement ticket. And what happened, unfortunately, over time, these got renumbered. And so Catherine had a bit of a panic because she was concerned that we had, that we were missing some requirements relative, integration test tasks relative to the requirements they were associated with. So in order to clear that up, I did this fun little project where I went through and reassociated all of the requirements back to their integration test task, because these items got renumbered in this table. So that's the other thing that gets cleared up by going to JIRA, because what we can do, and I will do that soon, is I'm going to create another template, which will be an integration test task. And so when people need to create a, you know, want to track an integration test task, then they will use that template, and then they will attach it to the associated requirement. And so we won't have this sort of thing happen again.
So it'll be automatically kind of updated once you once you create this associated task, it'll you'll just update the JIRA and everything else will follow, right?
Right. And so you can have, you know, you and it's a, you know, many to many type relationship. So you can have a requirement with multiple integration test tasks, or you can have integration test task that ties back to, you know, multiple requirements. It's a relational database problem, not a table problem, right?
Could I ask this before you scroll off this thing here? Where it says link to HLD, high level design, low level design, if any, I noticed people are putting lots of different things in there. Is it more useful for you if it was like link to architecture review, or what? Is there already a column in there for this, and what are people putting in that column?
Well, let me make a confession to you. I literally do not know what that even means.
So people are putting their links to the wiki, basically, which is a description of their use case. So essentially, you know, the high level design is kind of the, I would say, kind of like the architecture, maybe in their requirements, and I don't know, maybe Timo or Vimal has an opinion. But you know, whatever you find that is going to be useful for you, I would think that people might.
Well, yeah. Again, remember, this didn't have anything to do with what I find useful. So I started with this. So to me, this was the ground truth of what the community process was. Is the community tracks all of these fields. So okay. I didn't question them. I didn't question their usefulness or whether they could be stated more clearly. Yeah. From my point of view, being relatively new to the community, I just said, okay, this is what over time the ONAP community has decided that they want to track regarding requirements.
And I just went
in and took all these headers and in one way or another integrated them into JIRA.
Okay. And you'll notice, for example, in the project impact, you see how they're reporting these things per component. So I think that little template update that we made is spot on. That's the kind of information that
we want. But you see, but I think that's based on individual requirement owner knowledge. You know, the header says exactly what I stuck in the
Yeah. No, what you did was fine. I think what just to make it, because people didn't, I don't think people knew about the transcription.
I'm all for, you know, improving and, you know, clarifying, you know, the template. But my initial task was just take what exists in this table and just transfer it into here.
That makes sense. That makes total sense. So I think maybe another step is, because while there are, in a sense, high-level design and low-level designs, I think it might be more useful to say a link to the project wiki and or read the docs, link to, because I noticed people are also putting links to their ARC, you know, architecture reviews. Those are also useful, and I think people will find it useful to track and thread through those things, because Tracker has been creating architecture subcommittee review JIRAs for everybody as well. I don't know that he needs to do that, but he's doing that.
and the other thing to remember here, Ben, is that you know, we can make these improvements, but they won't be noticed until we do the Honolulu release. We've closed the requirements phase for
Shulam. I'm okay with making future improvements. Yes, that's fine. And I've gone back, now that I've seen Catherine's comments, for example, I've gone back with the 5G teams and PNF teams to kind of update stuff as consistently as possible with that, with some of these suggestions. So, but otherwise you see, like, for example, the link to HLDLD, people who aren't on, you see those pages every day, so you're very close to the problem, and I see them a lot because I'm on those pages also a lot. But people who aren't are kind of interpreting fields in their own way just because they're not familiar with the field. So,
yeah. But this one in particular, this is one that Morgan created, and this one has. The type of problem that I was referring to earlier, where he didn't actually clone REQ1. And so you can see the entire template in the description field is missing. So that's an issue. So that's the first issue that I've noticed that some people that, you know, been in a hurry to get their requirements set up have just gone in and, you know, created some REQ requirements and missing. Although, you know, the clone does have the template does include a link to the instructions, right?
I was also curious, what's the difference between clone plus and clone plus plus? Was there a reason why there's...
Well, there's actually more than that. There's clone plus and clone plus plus.
Okay.
Probably for our purposes, we could just use clone. In the past, when my first attempt at setting up a template, I set up subtasks for each milestone. And so what Clone Plus Plus allows you to do is it will actually copy any linked issues.
Oh, I see.
In addition to the main issue, whereas the plain clone will just copy the primary issue. Ben, did you
rename to clone plus links? Maybe that would be more descriptive. I don't know if you can change that.
Oh, no, that it's a plugin. So
I see. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a third party plugin.
I see.
For Jira. Did you delete the link to the instructions by any chance when you were editing this?
No. Huh. No, all I did was add the two little paragraph thingies you see there.
Okay.
Maybe some
else. Yeah. That. Maybe. Because we definitely want to have that in
right,
there.
Tell you what to do in each field.
Yeah. It has includes a link to the
Oh, so this is a PDF of instructions or something? Or that's interesting.
No, it's just a wiki. Yeah, here it is.
Oh.
So, yeah. So we just want to have this.
Well, that's interesting. Can you send this, put it in the chat. I'll put it in today's notes.
Yeah, I shared it in our previous meeting.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. I think you...
But we can... Yeah, we can do it again. But previously, I had this in the template.
I see.
With the idea being that, you know, you would... Once you read the instructions, you could just delete it, but it would be there. Okay, I put it into the chat. And let me just... Yeah. So then this links to the instructions page.
Great.
Yeah. So that's the, clone, creating a new issue instead of cloning, per the instructions. That's issue number one, that I've seen. The other problem that I've seen is that, you know, everyone wants their, issue to be, you know, highest priority, but people forget that that's a decision of the TSC, not an individual requirement owner.
So you shouldn't decision. Be filling those fields out.
Yeah, and if you look at the if you follow the instructions, it actually says that in here. Let's see, here we are, requirement, TSC priority. I need to edit this to say that it's sort of implied by the name, TSC priority, but I should add some additional notes here just saying don't set this. This is set by the TSC.
And David, I think in default it gives... one as the priority, because I think that's what I did. I totally overlooked this, and then it appeared as one. I kind of paid attention only afterwards. So there is the do not set option as well at the drop down menu.
Yeah, I thought I had set that to I thought I had set that to four, but I forgot my password. Anyway, but I'll go back and check that again to make sure that the default is correct.
So secure, you can't get into it.
Yeah. Well, that's the path where you go through and set up all the custom fields that I added. So that's the other issue that I noticed is individual requirements owners setting the TSC priority and Timo, as you pointed out, that could be a design flaw. So I'll. Thanks for noting that. I'll go back and verify that the default is set correctly. And then the final thing And I'll tell you, if you want to drive Shucker crazy, set this architectural review to not required before he tells you that it's okay. So again, and go back to my notes, and I think I did mention that here. Do not set this field until you get feedback from the subcommittee. So that is something that's so the way the process is supposed to work is that you submit a request regardless of what you think your status is with regard to architecture. You submit a request to the architectural review subcommittee for a review, and then they will let you know whether you don't require a review or not, and that field is captured.
So I see in point 9D, you have a thing about the TSC priority. Maybe you should say don't set that as well. Or
yeah, I mentioned that earlier. I thought I had a note there, but obviously I don't. So.
And will it have a default as well, or?
It does have a default. I thought I had set the default to 4, but that might be, you can see most of them are set to 4, but yeah. I'll go back and verify that.
So is step 5 a duplicate of step 10? I'm a little confused why there's 2 of those.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Essentially, at some point, you're saying fill in the description field at 5 and at 10, you're more or less saying the same thing.
Yeah, good point. All right.
Also, I just have a quick question between 5 and 6. I think I just did all this stuff and then hit create at the bottom. I don't know that I hit create and edit. I'm not sure why you need to do that. Is there a reason why I don't think I created it and then I edited it. I think I just did all the stuff, filled everything in, and then just hit one. I just hit one create if I remember correctly.
I'm not sure that you can complete all of these. I don't know. Yeah, I'll go back and review the.
It was a little while ago.
Procedure again.
I don't remember if I. I don't think I did that. I think I and it worked fine. I think I just did one single query.
I'm in trouble communicating with Confluence here.
Also, maybe do you want to give any guidance on the t-shirt size? Otherwise, maybe that's a little subjective. Release after release, we kind of, people who have worked multiple releases kind of have an idea now, but maybe people who are new don't.
Yeah, I know there's this. I'm on the wrong page. Yeah, here it is.
Yeah, that would be good in the instructions. I think that would be good.
Yeah, there's actually, it's actually embedded in the field in the JIRA. So if you go to, Okay.
Yeah, that's good. I guess that's sufficient.
Yeah. So those are the three things I wanted to emphasize. Is just make sure that when you create a requirement, you're, you know, following this process, and you're cloning, not just creating a new ticket. And then second, don't set the TSC priority yourself. That gets set by the TSC. And then third, don't make your own assessment about the architectural review. Submit a request for a review to the architectural subcommittee, and then allow them to determine what that setting should be. Let's see, is there anything more I can say about? So the arrangement of this tables is more or less like what was done in the arrangement of these tables. So, you know, at the top, we have use cases first, followed by requirements. And to be honest, I'm still not totally clear on what the difference is between a requirement and a use case. And then down below, we have POC.
That was actually a big discussion at the TSC, because, I mean, to me, a collection of requirements is a use case. And I think most people agree that that's the idea. I mean, that's why I think Ala made her group a requirements group, just because,
right.
Because we're not getting too many new total end-to-end use cases. So I think she's kind of more focusing on just individual atomic requirements.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, that is what you do, is that you start with the use case, and then you break that down into individual requirements. And that's what I had suggested to Catherine, back last summer, when I started working on that, when we were preparing for Frankfurt. She pushed back on that. She said, no, we need to keep a differentiation between requirements and use cases. And I thought it was unusual, but I, you know, accepted it as a, you know, ONAP community norm. And so that's the way we've moved forward. But yeah, I'm much happier working in this environment. I think that this is a lot easier to manage. But just to go back to my previous point, so you can see, similar to the table format, you know, we have use cases at the top, followed by requirements. And then this section, non-functional requirements, and then POC at the bottom. I got a comment back from, I think it was Sylvain, and I'm still not totally following him, but he was questioning why we have POC in the template. And my, you know, my thought was to have basically a one-stop shop for documenting, you know, either requirement, use case, non-functional requirement, or POC, you know, rather than having separate projects and templates for separate types. But I'm still trying to understand Sylvain's comment. But for POC, so, you know, what I've seen in Frankfurt, which seems, you know, semi-common, is that, you know, there we will start out with a requirement, and then over time, you know, maybe the testing isn't working out, isn't successful as they had hoped, or they aren't able to, you know, get through all the development work or whatever. And at some point they decide, well, let's move this to POC. So if it's already established as a requirement, all you have to do is go in and click this POC checkbox, and then it moves it to the POC table. So then it gets tracked as POC instead of as a requirement.
It does kind of look like the TSC part is defaulting to one.
I see that. I think maybe it's been set to one. That might be the problem. It may be that someone set it to one here in the
RQ1.
In the requirement template, so yeah. it's not going to the default of the design. It's going to what it's set at here. Mm. It could be, yeah. Let me just go ahead and set that to a 4. Yeah. So that's basically it.
Oh,
I was just going to mention, you know, per my previous comment about comments in the table. So, you know, referring back to these, you know, these long comments that get overwritten and so on, and make this table huge. As opposed to that, by representing it this way, then we can use JIRA comments. So if there's a, you know, if there's a comment on 388, it can be managed down here. And, you know, I mean, we can have, hundreds of comments in here, and each one of them gets time stamped. We know when the comment was made. So if someone reports status, we understand it was status at that time, at the time stamped time. And we can see the history of previous comments. It makes it a lot easier to manage rather than trying to embed a trail of comments inside of a table cell.
So I have 5 questions and we have 10 minutes left. Let me just okay. state all my questions, and you might not be able to get to all of them. Number one was, I think you can spawn different views of this to show the description fields, like different fields here. Number two, Zhu, who's on the call, actually had problems with the refresh, which you think you fixed by giving him permission. So maybe you want to mention somewhere on this page, if you can't see the refresh, you know, do this procedure, go contact mm-hmm. you or whatever to get permissions. Number three, a number of people were asking if you go to the Guilin release page, which I'm about to put in the chat here, that all it shows is like the picture of the city Guilin. So maybe you know the page I'm talking about. And I think some people were asking, a number of people were asking, you know, maybe there should be, at this point, maybe we know some early dates or some charts or some links that you can put in certainly to this dashboard. Number four, I think some people were curious about the process of how the TSC sets the TSC priority numbers. So there was some question about that. And number five, there was a discussion about some of what Catherine was asking, the number of developers or people that is requested in the clone of REQ1. At this stage where we're doing these things, this information isn't very necessarily very accurate or well known. So maybe it should be taken with a grain of salt. So again, you might not be able to get to all five of these questions, but at least you've heard them all.
And remind me, what was the first question again?
So the first was, I think there are different views you can have, not just this view, which mimics the old release page, but I think you can also have a view which might be very useful to have each of the RAQs with their text boxes as an example. But I think there's those columns that you have that we see here. There are different JIRA dashboards. This is a tool, as I understand it, and you can set the different fields what you want that we see here. These aren't like sort of fixed, right?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly true. So yeah, so you can go in and edit this, and so this shows you which ones are being. The problem with the if we showed the description field, because you can see how big these description fields are, it would make this table huge.
It'd probably be a view with just the REQ and then just the description, nothing else. Like it would just be a table if somebody wanted to see at a glance all of the descriptions, probably something like that, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't seem particularly useful to me. I mean, you can go in to if you want to see the description on any of these, you can click on them and see the description. In my mind, a table is useful for showing, you know, kind of top level.
High level status, yeah.
Yeah, high level status. And if you want to see details, then you drill down into the individual ticket to see the details.
Yeah, and that's fine. I think it was just a question of that these aren't, anybody can sort of set this up. It's not like a hard fixed thing that you've got.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if someone wants to, I mean, I would prefer to keep this page the way it is, but if someone wants to set up another page, you know, they can embed a JIRA table in another page and set it up however they would like. But in terms of the, you know, for our meetings and stuff.
This is fine. I'm not saying you should change this. I'm just saying it was more of a question about the tool itself and how we're looking at it. It's a dynamic.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, that's all editable, as I showed you. Another thing I wanted to point out to people is, another nice feature of this is that it's sortable. So, you know, if you want to see, you know, sort it by any of these columns, you can do that directly in the table.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah. Okay. So the second question was, I think Zhu Xiang from who's on the call had when he was an Oscar mom. Also, when they first came to this page, they got an error trying to pull up these REQ things, and so they didn't see anything here. And when they tried to refresh, they got an error also.
The being able to view the page is limited by the credentials for viewing the query that these tables are based on, and originally the way I had it set up, you had to be a member of ONAP, a group called ONAP Community in JIRA, to view the query. And apparently some of our developers, members, are not members of that particular JIRA group. And so I expanded the credentials to include basically anyone logged into JIRA can see the query. So as long as you're logged in, you should be able to see it.
Okay. So that should be, okay, that's actually very helpful to know. And then some people had a lot of questions about what's the process of how the TSC priority gets set? Is it just magically happen? Is there some review? Is there something they attend? Is there something they have a say in? Is it just happen? Like what, you know, and are the fields that we're setting, does that influence the priorities and things like that? So I think people were just curious how that goes.
Yeah, well, that's a great question because, and I have that question myself. And I'll just point out that it's sort of amusing to me that, you know, being relatively new to the community, I've always sort of assumed that all these things were well known to everyone but me. But I'm learning that other people have some of the same questions that I do. And that's one. I can't answer that question. I don't fully understand that myself. Right.
And the best as I understand, there is some sort of rack and stack and assessment, and there are, I think there's like a UA, I don't know if the UAG governance board has a play, but there is some process, and there are meetings that I don't attend, so I'm not too closely tied to that process.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of in the same position.
So the next thing I think, and maybe this might be our last thing, but so as we are really rapidly approaching M0, maybe you can say some words about what you want expect at M0 with respect to this dashboard and the JIRAs. What did you want us to specifically pay attention to? If we fill in all our clone, you know, REQ clone plus plus, and we fill in all those fields, are we good to go? Is there anything else we need to do at M0? Is there any things you want us to pay attention to?
Well, I want to, yeah. Well, thanks for asking that question. What I would like is, yeah, to have the fields filled in as complete as possible. Make sure that you've submitted a request for review to the architectural subcommittee. Let's see, there was something else that I was thinking of that just slipped my mind. Oh, the other thing that I'm really paying attention to this time around, and I've pushed back on a few of the requirements authors. I think one of the things that was a bit of a problem in Frankfurt was requirements that were kind of open-ended and not specific. An example of one is like the badging. So, you know, there was a requirement to, complete all, I don't know, what is it, silver and gold badging for all projects or something like that. Well, that's a fairly large task. And not a lot of information was provided on how to do that. And so I pushed back a little bit on Tony and Amy and said, you know, instead of that, find a subset of those requirements and say, okay, for this release, we're going to do this particular thing. And then provide instructions on how to complete that and provide an example. And so that's the other thing that I would ask requirements owners to do, is to look carefully at their requirement and consider whether is it really broad, or is it non-specific, and try to make sure, like if you're saying something like, we need to fix all of blah, 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 you know, well, instead of saying fix all of blah, 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 fix this subset of blah, blah, this very specific set of things, we're going to fix these, you know, things like that. So consider how broadly the requirement is stated, and try to be specific as possible. So those are the things that I would ask people to do.
Okay. And the last question before we close is, so there was some, if you just open any one of these, like you go into REQ 318 or something, or whatever, open up one of those. So Catherine had been asking kind of how many people, testers and developers, are associated with a particular project. And I don't know if she did it to every ticket, but she did it to all my tickets. Mm-hmm. And so if you kind of go back to 318 and go to one of my tickets where she asked, the first thing in the row on the table you were just at, functional requirements. Up. And you're in the non-functional requirements, on top of this table here, 318.
Ah, right, okay.
Right there. So you know, the resources number of people assigned. I was getting a little bit of pushback on, and if you scroll down, Catherine had asked, you know, how many people are doing this thing? How many developers per components? So I'm getting pushback essentially that companies may not know at M0 how many exact resources people-wise are going to be doing this thing. For some things like, you know, you do know, and these numbers are an estimation, you should know. They're an educated guess, right? But I think, I'm not sure that all, you know, for all projects and for all people you'll necessarily know, and teams tend to be pretty dynamic nowadays where you may not even have people specifically assigned a task, but they, you know, rotate, and there's different ways of doing things with sprints internally, to, you know, so I guess the feedback I'm getting is it's not necessarily meaningful. It seems like, you know, sort of an archaic way to manage stuff, and also it may not be accurate. So I don't know what your feelings are on that, or, you know, the, but but that was the, some of the, you know, I'm the messenger. Yeah. That's the thing. Some of the comments that I'm getting from people. So.
Yeah. Well, I think what Catherine's concern is that I think she sees that, you know, people have big aspirations of getting things done with little means to actually, you know, execute the vision. Yeah, make it happen. Yeah. And so she's trying to push back on, you know, requirements owners. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, this sounds like a great requirement, and this is interesting work, useful for the ONAP community and so on, but can you actually get it done? You know, because, you know, there's a fair amount of time that gets invested in, you know, reviewing these requirements, and, you know, they go through the subcommittees and so on. And if they're not really feasible, they're just kind of, you know, someone's wishful thinking, then, you know, that time is kind of wasted. And so I think she's just trying to make sure that people have a reasonable expectation that they will have the resources to actually get something done, and it's not just wishful thinking.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay, great. So any final questions for David before we close?
Yeah, Ben, David sent an email to the CNPS. David, you ask the specific requirement, what, you know, at the runtime config DB. We did it because the time TSC decided to go to the, like, Catherine or other folks, say we will stay on support the, you know, some use case COVID requirement at the UI piece. So most
the requirement. It's RAQ 322, by the way, 322.
Yeah. So,
do we need to do anything in terms of Jira tickets? Just make sure, because transition. So, I've been tracking, I created this Jira ticket, and I think we're pretty good. We might need to fill out some extra information now that we've talked today with David. I'll add some of these extra fields under these requirement project pieces. So, I think we need code or TO impact for each of these categories, each of these project impacts, and then, you know,
You can all the requirements we moved from the R6 to, yes, R7.
Yes.
The day we're talking about R6. So the R6, just make sure we clear the bin. Just we don't have any issues from R6, right?
Oh, you're talking about the R6
transition, make sure.
The R6 ticket, yeah.
Yes.
So the R6 ticket.
Can you just double check R6? Yes.
It's yeah. You might get to it faster than I will. Let me see.
Yeah. Is it this one?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, 267.
Just make sure it's all green. That's fine. We just move on. That's fine. Because you send me, I don't even know how to, you know, answer email.
Yeah.
So is there something
it,
that's
it was
not...
an email from me? Or yeah, who was the email from?
So then you don't worry about that's fine. I think all green from you.
Yeah, okay. If there's an issue, just copy me on it, and I'll.
It's sort of. I mean, we mentioned at the previous. Are you talking about? That's probably when I was working on this thing. So I was going through, and there were a couple of them that I had. Okay. I had questions about.
Row 16.
And I sent out emails. So.
Row 16 is the one that joined.
Yeah, so I was thinking just moving the requirement, both require more to the R7. So all we have will just continue age.
Yeah,
I think we were good,
so
John.
There was
a issue because we didn't have an integration line at first because our integrator didn't know to fill that integration table out. And so if you recall,
that's long to create.
I think we're okay. So yeah,
okay.
They've been tracking that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think we're all, I mentioned at our last meeting that all of the integration test items were cleared. So I think all of our requirements are settled at this point, as far as I know. But it's possible that when I was doing that traceability that, I think I see here, I sent you an email, I think on... Yeah, I think, I was just asking for an update on status back about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think we're all good now.
Okay.
All right, great, thanks.
All right, let's just uncover. Okay.
Over time.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, everybody, for attending.
Okay. All right, yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Thanks so much,
all right.
David. This is very useful. Yeah, thanks. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Okay, bye.